I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Massive nationwide crackdown on the deadly Sinaloa cartel has led to more than 600 arrests, officials said. The week-long operation included 171 suspects in New England and targeted one of the world's most powerful drug trafficking organizations. The Drug Enforcement Administration announced Monday that from August 25th to 29th, agents arrested 617 people linked to the cartel across 23 U.S. field divisions. The operation, called a DEA surge, also seized a large haul of drugs, firearms, and cash. Among the seizures, 480 kilograms of fentanyl powder, 2,209 kilograms of methamphetamine, 7,469 kilograms of cocaine, 16.5 kilograms of heroin, more than 714,000 counterfeit pills, 420 firearms, and $11 million in cash.
And all of that sounds great, and it is to what the DEA and other agents have done, but it really puts barely a dent in what the Sinaloa cartel and others are doing when it comes to drug trafficking in our U.S. and around the world. Agents have uncovered in Poland meth labs built right along the Polish-German border. The chemists for their meth labs, they were from Mexico, the Sinaloa cartel. They have found evidence of them in Australia and in Turkey and elsewhere. Anywhere there's a profit to be made, someone that they can get hooked on drugs, that's where you'll find the drugs and the hand of the Sinaloa cartel and the others. And in their wake, bodies. And they don't give a damn. If they can target your child, you might well be holding a funeral next week. Here we are, hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. September 9, 2025. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. Very easy for you to do it. You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble. And reminding you, you can watch it live while I'm speaking right this moment. If you cannot do it now, you can pull up podcast, audio, and video of today's program. You find them at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And with Larry Connors USA, I promise you every time you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more information than you have right now. Let me give you a preview of who's coming up later in this hour. He's a legal analyst, or I should say a lawyer for the Goldberg. Let me get the exact title. Almost mispronounced it here. It's representing the suit in Arizona against disclosure laws. So we have the Goldwater Institute appearing for the Arizona Supreme Court in a couple of days. What's at stake that you need to know about? It's a ballot initiative that forces nonprofits engaged in public policy debate to give the government the names, the addresses, the donation amounts of anyone who donates to them. Some say, well, this is just an act of transparency. No, in actuality, it's a list of intimidation. And that is why the Goldwater Institute is fighting against it. We'll get into more detail for you as we move through the hour. In the meantime, in Chicago, the word is on the street. Trump is going to break up your gangs and go for the illegals.
Operation Midway Blitz is now underway here in Illinois.
And according to DHS, the ICE crackdown targets undocumented immigrants with criminal records. But we're still working to confirm what the department has shared. NBC5's Jen Shans joins us now live from the museum campus with the community response to this and details on the additional protests that are ahead. Jen?
At least two of them scheduled for today, Evrod and Michelle, as people are making their voices heard as we are seeing federal immigration action here in Chicago kick up. It is something that President Trump hinted at over the weekend with that Truth Social post. Yesterday in Brighton Park, immigrant advocates said they had already been alerted that a few people were taken by federal agents in that area. North Suburban Evanston's mayor says he was alerted his area could also be a target of ICE operations. We have not seen widespread raids at this point. Those pushing back say they won't live in fear.
They wanted a wall? Look at this beautiful wall of defense. They wanted a wall? They wanted a wall? We're going to show them how we protect our own.
She is talking about protecting our own, and she's referencing illegals, in many cases gangbangers. She is a Chicago resident. She's entitled to her opinion. But many other Chicago residents, minorities especially, they want more police protection. And if it means the feds have to come in with the National Guard to get the illegals out of the way and the gangbangers and put an end to it and bring peace, at least more peace than they currently have, that's what they want. When you take an overgrowing need for safety and security and you politicize it, shame on you. Shame on you, and you should be held responsible for every death that happens when these gangs and these illegals remain in your city. It won't happen that way, but it should. And, of course, late-night host Jimmy Kimmel, he had to get into the fray, bizarrely referring to the death toll as information that is, quote, based on stats from the worm inside RFK Jr.'s head. The Chicago murder stats are real. The corpse in the morgue are real. Those placed in the graves are real. The loss of loved ones, real. But Kimmel thinks it's a joke. They're not that bad. And he said on Saturday, Francis Ford Coppola, or he said Groppola, posted this AI-generated image of himself to celebrate his invasion of Chicago, showing one of the president's recent social media posts depicting him based on the film Apocalypse Now. And Kimmel continued, someone made this and called it Chicopalypse Now, with the caption, I love the smell of deportations in the morning. This is a normal right. Both sides do this. You wouldn't remember when Obama declared war on Orlando. Totally normal. Those words all from Jimmy Kimmel, not me. He went on to call President Trump a real AI Joe when it comes to the internet. And he added, by the way, if Trump was actually a character from the movie Apocalypse Now, it wouldn't be Robert Duvall, it'd be late life Marlon Brando. You didn't probably know anything like this happened on the Kimmel Show because you don't bother watching it. And I don't blame you. I do the dirty work for you. I bring it and show it to you and expose it. There is an Arizona congresswoman who's already fearing that Trump might be moving into their state and rounding up illegals. And she says, we're going to fight.
Absolutely. And ICE is a rogue agency with now so many agents and officers who feel extremely emboldened, are completely in lockstep with Donald Trump and Stephen Miller's extremely racist mass deportation policy. And I was gutted by this news today. This is now another step in complete approval and legalizing Donald Trump and Stephen Miller's racist agenda. And it starts in Los Angeles, and they're going to feel emboldened to do this in many other places. And I'm concerned about a district like mine in Phoenix, Arizona, where we are, you know, a district where more than 64 languages are spoken, a diverse community.
So there's nothing wrong with being a diverse community, but you again are trying to sell fear to that diverse community. You want them fearful because they all speak different languages, including English. Maybe, maybe not. This is what the left does. They poison everything with fear. And if you drink from that cup, you're looking over your shoulder in paranoia. That remark also followed the Supreme Court decision yesterday, 6-3, that Trump can, once again, continue widespread raids across California. Good. Let me give you a cue of something else that's coming up later in this program, this hour. Do you remember the words that were thrown around after the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri? Hands up, don't shoot. There's a development with the guy that started that statement. I'm not going to sing praises over what happened, but I want you to know about it. In addition to the fact that his remark was a lie, but became the caption for the leftist media and everyone on the left. A lie. That's coming up before we wrap up this hour. In the meantime, Israel hit Hamas and Iranian leaders in Qatar today. This was not just a major blow, but a game reset. There is no safe place for terrorists to hide.
So we've got breaking news from the Middle East, and this is significant. Moments ago, the Israeli military saying that it conducted a strike against senior Hamas leadership. Multiple explosions reported, not in Gaza, but in the capital city of Doha and Qatar. In Tel Aviv, Greg Palcott's watching that story. And Greg, it's early. What have you learned from there? Hello.
Well, Bill, this war just stepped up by one more step in the past half hour or so. We have gotten reports that for the very first time, Israel has struck Doha, Qatar, aiming at the Hamas leadership there. Remember, Qatar is one of the two mediating countries, Qatar and Egypt, trying to come up with an end to this war. And now Israel has struck out at the country, but not the country itself, struck out at Hamas leadership, which away from Gaza uses Qatar as a base of operation.
And that's the key, and that's where I have had issues for some time with Qatar. All right, these guys need to meet somewhere where they can discuss and seek a peace resolution. But when they're in Qatar, I don't see Qatar really working to help bring peace. They're just providing luxury lifestyle for Hamas leaders and Iranian leaders. But Israel said, we're done with that. We're not going to allow you to go to a third country and act like you're trying to find a resolution when, in fact, you're plotting for more deaths of Israelis. And, of course, we still have the Russia-Ukraine war waging. And there's been a concern about what do we do to totally shut down Russia? Well, it begins by imposing more sanctions. And we already have hit them with sanctions. But we have European Union members, including Turkey, and we have India also involved, and China, which is not part of the NATO nations, continuing to buy oil from Russia. When they do that, they help provide money for Russia to carry out continued attacks. When are we going to put more pressure on the European Union nations in particular and say, if you're going to do that, you're going to be cut off from U.S. business activity? Victoria Coates, the Heritage Foundation.
It's ridiculous that Europe would continue to fuel a war on their own territory. We should be working with India to supply them with the gas and the oil that they need. They're a growing, huge growing economy. I understand that. That can come from the United States. And Secretary Wright just put out a statement that our oil production in the United States was the biggest it's ever been in June. So we can fill that void for Russia. There's no reason this should be going on. It's a self-perpetuating situation that was enabled by the Biden administration.
Everything we have that's wrong in our nation, thank you, Joe Biden. By the way, voters in one sanctuary city have made a decision on their mayor amid ICE crackdown resistance. The Boston mayor is facing voters while fighting over ICE coming into Massachusetts. Voters in New England's most populous city casting ballots today in a mayoral election. Mayor Michelle Wu of Boston seeking re-election. She's pushing back against any federal immigration enforcement in her city or her state. I hope she gets a severe thumping. But it's Boston. What would you expect? Coming up, the Goldwater Institute arguing on behalf of you to protect your knowledge, your information. If you want to give to a nonprofit group, there's an effort underway, and in fact, it's in law in Arizona. You have to be identified. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The Goldwater Institute was founded in 1988 with basic mission of empowering all Americans to live freer and happier lives. Fast track from 1988 to a case in front of it right now in Arizona. It deals with a ballot initiative that would force nonprofits engaged in public policy debate to disclose donors' names, addresses, and so forth. On one hand, that sounds like, well, transparency. That's a good idea, isn't it? Although it would be weaponized. That's the issue. To break it down for us, as this goes to the U.S., the Arizona Supreme Court, Tim Sandifer, one of the attorneys. Tim, glad to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
So, again, this basic ballot initiative that's in basically called campaign media spending. On one hand, we want to know who's giving and how. We get big guys like George Soros dumping money into campaigns. We want to know where that came from. What is the difference here?
Well, the big problem is that by forcing people to give up their right to privacy as the price of participating in the democratic process, by forcing them to put their names, addresses, and employment information on a publicly accessible government list whenever they donate money to a nonprofit that speaks publicly about political or social issues, what you're doing is you're putting a target on people's back for retaliation and harassment and violence. Even.
Nobody would do that. And come on, Tim.
Of course, Tim, people will you're, typically be afraid of.
You're making
that
you're making
that,
you're making up a boogeyman, Tim.
Tim. So the result is a chilling effect. They're going to refrain from speaking at all, and that's bad not only for individual rights such as free speech, but for the entire democratic process.
All right, Tim, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was saying, tongue-in-cheek, you're making up a boogeyman. They're really not going to weaponize the government against these people. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, we've seen it happen a lot. I mean, we've seen – remember the Proposition 8 campaign in California when people who donated to the anti-same-sex marriage initiative had their information publicized. In fact, people made a Google Maps list of all of their addresses and things.
Right.
And the result was a wave of violence and hostility that, you know, everybody learns from that. Everybody knows that you don't stick your neck out if you're going to incur that kind of retaliation. And it was done in the 50s and the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement when the NAACP's donors were forced to turn over their information to the state of Alabama, which basically shut down the NAACP for almost a decade in that state.
So what is your answer to those who said this is just transparency? That's all we want.
The answer is simple. Transparency is for government. Privacy is for people.
Good point. And, of course, if you have the fear that your name's going to be made public, you're not going to be giving money.
or you look for some other way to do it.
That's called a chilling effect.
Yeah.
When people feel the chill of a threat, in and so as a result, they self-censor. They refrain from speaking. And that's what the real goal is in a lot of these cases, is to silence. And it's, let's be honest, it's mostly trying to silence the conservative side of the political spectrum by intimidating them and threatening them with this kind of unwanted publicity if they dare to speak their voice.
Well, we already know about the issue of doxing. Targeting people in law enforcement or politics, putting all their name and information out. So if I write a check for one of the issues that I want to support and I'm in Arizona and I have a right to, then my name is put out that I contributed, and I become a target.
That's right. And once it's on the internet, of course, it's permanent. It's forever. And who knows, something that might seem like a perfectly ordinary political opinion today could become politically incorrect and unacceptable in a decade. You know, there was – I remember when Barack Obama said he was opposed to same-sex marriage. And nowadays that's become such an unacceptable position to take that people suffer retaliation and attacks if they took that position even 10 years ago.
So what do we do to protect against so-called dark money coming in and going into these nonprofit groups?
Larry, I don't believe in so-called dark money. I think that's a nasty word for a perfectly legitimate thing. It's an attempt to smear people who want to be private and yet still speak their voices. And the fact is that anonymous speech is a fundamental constitutional right.
Correct.
The Federalist Papers were written anonymously. Common Sense by Thomas Paine, he published that anonymously. The right to speak anonymously is a fundamental constitutional right, and I don't think it should be taken away from people under the theory that, scary dark money is controlling our democracy, which just is not borne out by the fact.
Well, let me point you to New York City mayoral race right now. One of the big contributors might be getting money from China and dumping it into this campaign. That should be made public, right?
Absolutely, it should be made public, and his opponents should make that as public as possible. I think I totally agree with publicizing this information, that's the role of the opponent. That's what the other side is supposed to do, is say to the public, hey, that guy's getting his money from China. That's perfectly legit. But what shouldn't be allowed is for the government to come in and take away your privacy rights just because you donated to a candidate or a campaign. And by the way, this Arizona case we're talking about is not about donating money to candidates. It's about donating money to ballot initiatives, which I think is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Because a ballot initiative can't be corrupted. It can't buy or sell influence or be bribed, you know?
The argument is coming Thursday, is that right?
That's right, Thursday morning.
And those are oral arguments at this stage?
That's right. And it'll be broadcast online.
So what do you expect, and what's the best position you can present versus what you expect from the opposition? And who is the opposition?
Well, the opposition is the state and the campaign that supported this ballot initiative when it was first passed. And our case is a bit unique in that we're not arguing the federal free speech right under the First Amendment. We're arguing that the Arizona state constitution protects your freedom of speech and privacy rights more than the federal constitution does. And that's actually true of almost every state, has a broader protection for individual rights of speech and privacy than the federal constitution does. And so we're hoping that if we prevail in this case, that other states will follow suit and say, you know what, we don't even have to talk about the federal constitution. Our state constitution protects these individual rights and nobody can take them away.
You're listening to Tim Sandifer, one of the attorneys with the Goldwater Institute. Those statements, those remarks are almost a slap in the face to people that say, First Amendment overrules everything.
Oh, yeah, no, it definitely – the First Amendment sets a baseline, like the floor of your constitutional rights, and states can't go below that floor. But they can go higher, and they can protect your individual rights more than the federal constitution does, and most state constitutions do. The real problem is that people – honestly, they don't know that. They don't know about their state constitutional rights, and one of the Goldwater Institute's missions is to try and spread the word that your state constitution, properly interpreted, probably protects your freedom more than the federal constitution does.
Well, the other part, as you guys have pointed out, that this donor disclosure law is vague, complex, and just difficult to navigate.
That's right. It's so vague, in fact. There's a provision in there called the opt-out that says if you don't want your personal information to be made public, then you click a box and then your money can't be spent to endorse or oppose a ballot initiative, and then you'll opt out, right? Well, that sounds like a great idea, except it turns out that the wording of this law is so broad that nobody knows how that opt-out actually should work. And even if you do click the box, your name and we're talking about your address, your phone number, your employment information goes on this publicly accessible government list, even if you try to opt out.
What was the purpose of passing such the law to begin with, from your understanding?
Well, there's this notion, particularly among the left, they think that our evil capitalist society is run by secretive billionaires who are pulling the strings, and if we got rid of these secretive billionaires, then we would have this utopian proletarian commune, and we'd all be perfectly happy.
While they live with the same.
And to privacy rights, and to support or oppose political positions, and that includes rich people have the same right. And the left's utopian notion that if they just got money out of politics just doesn't hold water. In fact, the only way to actually get money out of politics is to get politics out of money, to get the government to stop redistributing wealth among people in society. That would stop lobbying. But the left, of course, isn't willing to do that. So instead, what they want to do is persecute people who disagree with them.
All right. So if the court strikes down the law, what happens next?
That would be the end of it, because since we're arguing state constitutional rights, there would be no appeal to the federal system, which is one of the benefits of our federalist scheme, is that in many respects, each state can set its own path and choose how to protect individual rights in a way, as long as they don't fall below federal baseline.
Do you see anything in here that could end up harming future rights?
I don't think so. I mean, there's always a possibility. Judges can always go off the in some weird direction or something. You can never really police against that except by choosing the right judges. But no, I don't think that that's a risk. And our hope is, of course, that every other state will take a look at their state constitutions and see how they also protect individual rights against the onslaught from the regulatory state.
All right, Tim, we'll be wanting to talk to you again after. When would a decision come down? Same day? Not likely.
We don't know, but probably in, I would guess at the beginning of next year.
All right. Tim Sandifer, I want to thank you for your time. We will get back to you.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Maguire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Maguire is a household name because Maguire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Maguire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MaguireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John, Bill and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then?
You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I do believe with all my heart and mind and spirit that I, not as president, but as a humble servant of God, will receive justice without mercy if I fail to show mercy. Finally, I feel that Richard Nixon and his loved ones have suffered enough and will continue to suffer no matter what I do, no matter what we as a great and good nation can do together to make his goal of peace come true. Now, therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, pursuant to the pardon power conferred upon me by Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, have granted, and by these presents do grant, a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon for all offenses against the United States which he, Richard Nixon, has committed or may have committed or taken part in.
That is Gerald Ford, this date, 1974, granting a full and unconditional pardon to Richard Nixon for any crimes that he might have committed against the U.S. as president. In particular, of course, the pardon covered Nixon's actions during the Watergate scandal. The proclamation, the pardon of Richard Nixon, is officially known as Proclamation 4311. Ford went on to say, the Nixon family situation and the best interest of our country played in his decision. He said, this is a tragedy in which we all have played a part of. It could go on and on and on, or someone must write the end to it. I've concluded that only I can do that, and if I can, I must. As you heard him also say, I'd come to the conclusion that if I'm ever going to have mercy shown me on Judgment Day, I need to show mercy here. After Ford left the White House in 77, he carried the pardon of Nixon in his wallet, justifying it, I should say, a statement, part of a text from a 1915 U.S. Supreme Court case, where the ruling was that a pardon carries an imputation of guilt, and accepting a pardon carries a confession of guilt. In other words, the fact that I'm going to give you a pardon suggests you need it. You're guilty of something, and I'm going to give you a pardon. And the fact that Nixon is taking it means he confesses guilt without saying so. Now bring that to today's context with Joe Biden and his massive auto-pen signing of pardons, much less personal pardons he granted members of his family. Do you use the same logic? We should. He gave them a pardon because he realized they were guilty. And that included Dr. Fake, if you recall. And they accepted a pardon knowing they were going to need it. The question is, has everyone now been covered under a pardon, or what else could be brought to the forefront? Ford wrote at one point, after the release of the smoking gun tape, that Nixon's position had become untenable. In his biography, A Time to Heal, Ford wrote about a meeting he had with White House Chief of Staff Alexander Haig before Nixon's resignation. Haig was explaining what he and Nixon's staff thought Nixon's only options were. He could try to ride out the impeachment and fight against conviction in the Senate, or he could resign. The options for resigning were to delay his resignation and move farther along in the impeachment process, trying to settle for a censure vote in Congress, or to pardon himself and then resign. Apparently that was still an option as well. Haig told Ford that some of Nixon's staff had suggested Nixon could agree to resign in return for an agreement that Ford would pardon him. On that subject, Ford wrote in his book, again, A Time to Heal. Haig emphasized that those were not his suggestions. He didn't identify the staff members. He made it very clear he was not recommending any one option over the other. What he wanted to know was whether or not my overall assessment of the situation agreed with his. Next, he asked if I had any suggestions as to course of actions for the president. I don't think it would be proper for me to make any recommendations at all, and I told him so. The nation was in a nightmare over that time. There was no doubt about it. We were, to say the least, embarrassed as a nation. And we're going to either by impeachment remove a president or by his resignation. I'd mentioned earlier that I had a chance to interview Nixon twice during this period. Well, actually once during the period. He had left D.C. and come down to Houston where I was working as a TV reporter. He wanted to tour NASA. And when he came out, I was one of the first in a grabbing of the audience as he's walking along an audience line, shaking hands. I shook hands with him and held firmly and put a mic up. I asked nothing but softball questions because I knew the moment I got tough, he would turn and walk away, and I was looking at getting as much time as we could with him. Yes, it was a coup and beat the other stations and the networks, for that matter. But he got so relaxed at one point, I could feel that he was willing to stay a little bit longer. And he did. He folded his arms in typical Nixon fashion and continued talking with me. There's a photograph that got captured by one of the newspapers that shows a big brown shoe behind him. That belonged to Ron Ziegler, his press secretary. He was now tugging on Nixon's jacket to let's go. But Nixon was enjoying this moment. He was not being chastised, not being criticized, not ambushed with tough questions, just a chance to explain his view of the world and what he thought of Texas and NASA. And his attitude was, I love the can-do spirit in Texas. It was Nixon bravado all the way, but it played well. My second interview was with him after he had resigned. And he came to University Club in Clayton, Missouri for a speech. I was not allowed inside, no cameras. But I knew where he would be when he came out. And I got a second interview with him. This time not quite as casual and as loose, but it also was not meant to be a condemning interview. It was meant to be a reflection of where you are now in your mind and what the nation went through and you and your family. There were those who criticized me and said, you didn't throw one tough question to him. Well, at that point again, I'm looking for a reflection from the man on what he went through. I always second-guess myself on some interviews. That was one I did as well. But I still stand by what we did. There is a story, of course, everyone knows in New York, rather in St. Louis, about the death of Michael Brown, shot by a police officer. And the storyline that started, hey, he was unarmed. He was saying, hands up, don't shoot. And that became a rally cry. That was built on a lie. And now there's another development to that story. I'm going to have that coming up in a moment. But first, the New York City mayoral race is escalating. Many are now fearing what's going to happen if Mondami is elected.
I've been running a campaign of anybody but Mondami. And I think that's very important. The fact is, and the people and the citizens of the United States and the citizens of New York have to know this. This Mondami character is a created character. And I believe everybody in our federal government knows it, and the investigative part of our federal government knows it. And the fact is that in June, July, he had 1% of the vote. All of a sudden, $50 million shows up to hire an army worth of people to go out and promote him. That is a lot of money. I mean, it smells. I mean, a lot of it came, according to the New York Post, it was that it was the Soros people. It was another person from Singapore that's getting Chinese money. Another report said the New York Post was Qatar because they're funding his mother. But this is a created character. And if they, the Department of Justice or whoever, could create the proof that he knew there was foreign money helping him, that is very, I mean, he should be knocked out of the race.
Yeah, and charges should be filed for those involving in such engagement. It's illegal. That's John Katsimatidis, CEO of United Refining Company. And he said, my campaign has been anybody but Mondani. Trump has offered New York City Mayor Adams an ambassadorship if he will step out of the way. He wants to make sure that the votes are not split so Mondani does win. Adams is showing no signs of budging. Now back to the shooting that took place in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. Breitbart News is pointing it out this way. Far-left NBC News is again spreading the lie that Dorian Johnson, hands up, don't shoot, told the media outlets. Dorian Johnson was with Michael Brown when Michael Brown was shot to death by the police officer. The death of Michael Brown, August 9, 2014, started demonstrations around the nation. Visual demonstrations as folks were holding their hands up. Hands up, don't shoot. Because that's what, at that time, Dorian Johnson said, Michael Brown did. He held his hands up, said, don't shoot. And Johnson lied. And he's a proven liar. Investigation after investigation proved he lied about the entire incident. The 22-year-old Dorian Johnson and 18-year-old Michael Brown robbed cigars from a local store. Officer Darren Wilson showed up in the area, unaware of the robbery. As he was trying to talk to Brown, Brown reached into the car, trying to grab the officer's service revolver, and then chased away and turned and charged back to Wilson. Wilson, in fear of his life, shot Brown dead. No, he was not dead. Barack Obama, sent the FBI and Attorney General Holder in to look for civil rights violations to charge the officer. Bill McCulloch, St. Louis County prosecutor, said there's no evidence he did nothing wrong, the police officer. And in the end, even the Attorney General's office under Eric Holder had to admit did nothing wrong. But the lie, hands up, don't shoot, continue to this day. And here's an update. Dorian Johnson, the man who started that lie, was killed in a shooting Sunday. But the lie will persist. As always, I thank you for listening. What did you learn this hour you didn't know before we began? As I told you, every time you're going to walk away with more information, education. Please share with others and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.